Romans 1, verses 1 to 12, Paul's greeting and prayer. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is truly good news for all who believe. Teach us how to live by faith today. Thank you for making us righteous in Christ, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his holy prophets in the scriptures, regarding his son, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and on behalf of his name, we receive grace and apostleship to call all those among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditation question. How did Paul think about himself and his ministry? Paul began his letter to believers in Rome by identifying himself as a servant or a bondslave of Jesus. Paul was 100% focused on serving Jesus with all of his heart and soul. In the Old Testament, a servant could choose to be a bondslave for life. This was symbolized by piercing the servant's ear with an awl at the doorpost of the master's house. This is found in Exodus 21, 5, and 6. In the New Testament, the Greek word doulos is translated servant or bondslave. It emphasized total devotion and submission to Jesus. This is what Paul meant when he said that he was a servant of Jesus. Paul said that he had been set apart for the good news of God, which is centered in his son Jesus. Paul hated and persecuted the church until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. As recorded in Acts 26, 12 to 18, he saw a great light and heard a voice asking, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus then told Paul that he had appointed him to be his witness to the Gentiles, referring to non-Jewish peoples. Jesus said that he would send Paul to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they could receive forgiveness of sins. God called Paul to share the good news with non-Jewish people. Paul's life changed radically through his powerful encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. He became a servant of Jesus Christ. From that point on, his life and message focused entirely on Jesus himself. In Romans 1, 1-7, Paul mentions or refers to Jesus 8 times. He was a servant of Jesus, and Jesus himself was always the center of Paul's teaching and ministry. Paul also stated in verse 5 that through Jesus we have received grace and apostleship for obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake. If Jesus sends a person, he will give them grace to complete the task. The result of their ministry will be faith in Jesus and obedience to him. The gospel message is that we are saved entirely by grace and not by works. However, our response of faith demands obedience to Jesus. Paul said in verse 2 that the good news had been promised through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul uses many verses from the Old Testament as he explains the meaning of the gospel in this letter to the believers in Rome. I will list one powerful example from Isaiah 61, 1-3, which is a prophecy about Jesus, the Messiah, proclaiming the good news. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This incredible prophecy describes the love and mercy of our Lord. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to set people free from bondage, to proclaim that the time of God's favor and blessing has come, and to comfort all who mourn. Jesus transforms lives by his grace and by his life. This is the gospel. Meditation question. What did Paul say about Jesus in verses 1 to 7? Verse 2 states that Jesus was born of the offspring of David according to the flesh. This emphasizes that Jesus was fully human. King David was his ancestor. Verse 3 goes on to say that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus by the Holy Spirit did not make Jesus the Son of God, but it revealed who he truly is. Jesus is fully human and fully God. Jesus was clearly shown to be the Son of God. Just a side note, some interpreters think that the phrase by the Spirit of holiness refers to the divine nature of Christ rather than to the Holy Spirit. They could be right. Jesus rose from the grave and presently is seated at the right hand of God in glory. Sometimes we lose sight of who he is. Jesus is God and fully a human being. The gospel is all about him. This is the good news. God loved human beings and sent his Son into the world to save us from sin and to bring us into a personal love relationship with himself. Salvation is a love affair. He gave his Son to die in our place, to reconcile us to God. This is how much he loved us. Jesus did not come so that we would practice a religion called Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. It is a person. Christianity is Christ. God demonstrated his love for us in Christ so that we can live in a love relationship with him. This is the purpose of the gospel. Paul's letter to believers in Rome was not intended just to give correct doctrine, but so that we can know him and walk with him. Meditation question. How did Paul describe the believers in Rome? Paul identified the people he was writing to in Rome as those who are also called to belong to Jesus Christ. He also said that they were beloved of God, called to be saints. In some church traditions, the term saint is a title given to individuals that have lived an exemplary life and performed extraordinary acts of service for God. However, in the Bible, the word saint means someone who is holy. It is not an elite classification of believers. Paul called all who believe in Christ saints because we have all been made holy through his work on the cross. In verse 7, Paul wrote to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace constitute the formal greeting in most of Paul's letters. Grace, charis in the Greek, was the Gentile form of greeting, while peace, shalom, was the Jewish form of greeting. Paul combined them into one in the words, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote in verse 7, we all need ongoing revelation that we are beloved of God and that his grace and peace is always available to us through Jesus. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of your faith. Your faith is being proclaimed all over the world. God, whom I serve with my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, asking that now, at last, by God's will, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, and that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Meditation question. Why did Paul want to visit the believers in Rome? What was his mindset and understanding of fellowship? Paul prayed for the believers in Rome and thanked God that their faith was known throughout the world. Paul had not been to Rome, but there was a thriving church there. The message of the gospel was powerful and spread rapidly through the known world. Verses 11 and 12 reveal Paul's mindset and understanding of fellowship in Christ. His goal in fellowship was not just to get something from them for himself. Paul had a mindset of mutual edification. He wanted to use his spiritual gifts to build them up, but also wanted to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. The New Living Translation puts it like this: For I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. Fellowship in Christ involves both giving and receiving from others within the body of Christ. It means to share Christ with one another. He is working in every member of the body to love and build up others. Our mindset and attitude about fellowship should be like Paul's. We should always seek to love, bless, and build up other members of the body. Also, we should be open-hearted and hungry to receive from every other member of the body of Christ. The fact is, we need them, and they need us. I need you, and you need me. As I studied these verses, this is what I sensed Jesus was saying to me. I want you to have a heart of humility and love for other believers. Use the gifts I have given you to bless them and open your heart to receive my life through other members of my body. Our fellowship and relationship with others in the body of Christ are a dynamic part of our relationship with God. We cannot grow to maturity in Christ alone. One of the primary ways we grow in Christ is through other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. This message is echoed throughout Paul's letters. Knowing Jesus, learning from Jesus, obeying Jesus, and becoming like Jesus are all intricately tied to our relationship with other believers. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your great love and grace for us. I pray that you work in the hearts and minds of everyone doing this study to reveal more of your love, more of your grace, more of your life that made available to us in Christ through this study and through our fellowship with one another. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.